favorite astrology program, It's All in the Stars, with astrologer Hatha Jaffer. And now, here's your host for tonight, Michael Cervini.
Hello, friends. My name is Michael Cervini, and I will be your host here tonight on It's All in the Stars. We'd like to welcome Hassan.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
Excellent. Great to be back here on BBS, and we have such an exciting show tonight. Actually, not only are we taking calls from North America, but we're also going to be broadcasting and taking calls from all over the world. So we should be in for an interesting program with quite a few callers, we hope.
Excellent. I should also tell people that, tell everyone that Michael's chart is like Ann Landers, actually. So he's fantastic in counseling, guiding, helping people as well. So it's so great to have you as a host, Michael.
Excellent. I'm very, very happy to be the host. I think we
and
should
we'll
let our...
And we'll continue to have all kinds of different programs, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for now, it's just every second Thursday, but we might also be on Sundays, and we'll put it on our website for sure.
Yeah, we'll definitely let all our existing clients know, and... For those who would like to have a free analysis tonight and would like to ask a few questions, you're welcome to call our toll-free numbers. So for those of you out in North America, you could call 1-888-228-4494. And for those outside of North America, anywhere else in the world, you could call 1-877-489-6350.
Great, Michael.
So, I think you were telling me, I think today the moon is in the sign of Libra.
Absolutely, that's right, exactly, which is, of course, a sign for, as you know, it's a sign for beauty and fashion and clothing and, of course, love matters.
Love
and most people. So that's why I guess we will focus on relationships today.
Yeah, that would be a good start, I would think.
And, you know these we have these 12 needs, and the music for today... It's actually like it's very much a love story. Remember love story? Let me just see if I can get that theme on. See, this theme to me is exactly the moon in Libra.
So when you say that, it's based on for every zodiac astrological sign, then there would be a different type of music, I guess.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. In fact, I'm developing a program that which will automatically play the right music, and which will select the right music and play based on the. On the rising sign of the the ascendant, it'll play that.
Right.
Like for example, as it goes from Libra to Scorpio, we get this one example. Remember that? Love me tender.
Oh,
Elvis, remember
the king? Who can forget him?
So this part is Libra. See, never let me go. That part is the Scorpio part in it. So the first part is more Libra, and the second part is more like a Scorpio theme. Every one of them have that. And, of course, we have all these 12 signs represented somewhere in our chart.
Excellent.
So, Michael, we'll discuss quite a few things today.
Yeah, I think we should let the callers know that it's not just, we're not going to be talking just on the basis of love and relationships, but we'll take calls and any other matters or questions they might have as well, or any other topics they may want to discuss.
I think we should also discuss something about the U.S. election. We can write about that. I wrote about Hillary quite a long time ago, and it's still coming true.
I was going to ask you about that, about what your thoughts
yes,
were.
Yes, we'll do that. And also we'll put some astro insights as well. Because when people call in, of course, it's not just for their own chart. We also want to let everybody know something about their as well. For example, if somebody has hazel eyes, does that mean something in astrology? And as you know, I'm also into music and art and engineering. Well, that's I combine all these things in my astrology.
And
so
palmistry as well.
So, that's right. Yeah, I've written books on that too. So we will discuss some elements of palmistry as well. I think that's a great idea. And we'll explain people, because there they don't even have to draw a chart or anything. I mean, they look at the hand, they can tell certain things. And as you go along, we'll leave a bit of time for that as well.
Yeah, because there was a few questions myself on that the other day when we were talking about the brain line separate. I wanted to see what the significance.
Oh, yes, the headline, this side. The line that goes all around the thumb, you see, that's called the lifeline. And just above that is a headline which divides the palm into half, and above that is a heart line.
Right.
This brain line, the headline, when it's joined, people are more deliberate, more cautious, and more... Very dependable also, of course, but they are not likely to break rules as much, whereas, and they don't take as many chances also. Whereas if the brain line is separate, the headline is completely separate, like in Obama's case, in Oprah's case, in Bill Clinton's case. These are the people who always have a bit of problem with the authority because they are not reading to man-made laws as much. It doesn't mean that they are totally legal, but quite often you'll find there's a bit of a clash between, like, there's so much of red tape in our society.
Right.
For example, the ADD. I've always said, you know, show me a child who has ADD and I'll show you a champion. But here they'll give them all kinds of, you know, all kinds of pills, and instead of getting them some good action. So these are the people who take chances in life, who are more daring and adventurous, and of course very inspirational and extremely positive. And that is what differentiates Obama from both McCain as well as Hillary. Because Hillary and McCain are very almost fatalistic in many aspects, whereas he lifts your spirit up. That's why so many teenagers are being, you know, are getting involved also. I mean, those are much younger people, I mean.
Yeah, well, there's so many more people that are coming out. I think they're going to come out to vote this year simply because of him. Because
absolutely,
of his speeches. And, yeah, definitely.
I see he has Mercury in the sign of Leo, which is very dramatic and very theatrical and sort of visionary tendency and intelligent leadership ability.
Right.
And but he has Venus in Cancer, so he loves the good food and the family and the home and the barbecues. And so it's a real perfect combination for men. I think he's got good grassroots aspect and yet is able to lift people also from their, you know, their difficulties. At least their visionary part is there. Whereas Hillary's chart is more like having all these Scorpio planets. She's got lots. Actually, we might have some people calling in to have Scorpio also. I don't want to think it's all just negative and all that. They're fantastic researchers, but it's not really a leadership aspect. It's difficult for them to delegate work to other people. That's that controlling part, unfortunately.
But a lot of it has...
Yeah, we can get the number again. Also, Michael, do you have those numbers, the two numbers?
I can do that. I can remind everybody that anywhere from in within North America, Canada included, you can dial 1-888-228-4494. And anywhere else in the world, they can dial 1-877-489-6350. I think I'm going to have some friends, I'm hoping to have some friends of mine listening from different parts of the world that I'm hoping for them to call in as well.
Yes, you said some people had actually from Australia and Argentina, they had sent emails also.
Yes, I was in correspondence through emails with quite a few people actually, one of them in chap in Australia. And the other one, she's in Miami, actually. And I'm hoping
So we can do that a little later on. And if they call in, of course, that'll be excellent. But before that, why don't we discuss a bit about the relationships also, what constitutes a good relationship.
Yes.
And by the way, I should tell the listeners also that I really like Michael because he's very normal when it comes to love matters. By that, I mean he's a very loyal person in terms of love matters and relationships. And he's got, he's born very close to Princess Diana, actually, so there's that wisdom aspect also. Like Princess Diana, also Nicole Kidman, they both had Mercury in the sign of Cancer trying to Pluto, and also trying to Neptune. So the intuitive part, the wisdom part, most definitely was there. And he's got, of course, he's Gemini, but has this deep understanding of people. If I was like you, I mean, if you were doing what I'm doing, Michael, you'd become totally neurotic. You'd probably take on everybody's problems because Michael is much more sensitive, I must say. I have to admit
Very true.
Because in my case, I can literally cry with people. I can really understand the problem that I can say, okay, fine, the fantasy is over. Now let's be with your chat. I mean, because when people do not understand the reasoning behind events, we have, as you know, we have more than, 15,000 clients around the world. Those are the ones we have records of. So we have six kings and queens from all walks of life. But people find every excuse not to be successful in life. And as you know, my main aspect is how to offset a theme, how to, you know, if there's something negative happening, how to offset it. And I'm hoping that between yourself and myself, we'll be able to educate the people also about astrology, about how to offset, how to come out of difficult circumstances. And if they're having certain aspects of what they might consider trauma, and to differentiate between things which are man-made and things which are divine. And if somebody just loses some money, for example, it's not really a trauma, you know, because the health is there, the children are there, and the family is there, for example. And that's something people get really mixed up in. In relationships, basically, as you know, we look at two different things. The first thing is the communication, how well people communicate with each other. Now, what I'm finding interesting, especially even with yourself, you know, Michael, I'm going to just, if I'll take some liberty here, like with myself and your chart. Our chart is almost exactly opposite in some respects, but in astrology, we call it complementary. So you are you have a deep sensitivity for people, a lot of patience with people, and in understanding the problems. And whereas in my case, I'm a totally like a multitasking person, but it's not that I jumped the gun or anything like that, but I recognize that a certain aspect you are much better in. So when you are handling that part, all the business parts, etc. For example, when we are doing the feature film, I love the director part of it, but you are much better as a producer. And to make sure everybody's taken care of also, that's not my talent. And I recognize that, and it becomes a perfect partnership for us.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas many aspects in marriage and relationships, if they are different, and if they do not recognize that they actually need the other person's talents to complement themselves, then becomes a difficult theme.
Right.
Yeah. No, so in love matters. Actually, you know, what I'd like to do is I'd like to say a few words about each sign,
right.
So we can see why the relationship becomes important. For example, the fire signs, Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius. And by the way, if the listeners do want to call in, they can just call in. They can interrupt us. Do not worry about the topic seems to be so interesting that we are saying. But if you do want to, not just the date of birth, we'll open that a little later on. But if you have any questions about astrology and about the topic that we have. So, for example, Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius are called the fire signs, all three. And there's a certain dynamic aspect about them. And when we say the fire signs, it doesn't mean the sun sign. It could be Mercury also. It could be Venus. If it's Venus, for example, in love matches, you'd be like that. You'd be more confident, like Bill Clinton and Obama. They both have Mercury in the sign of Leo, for example. So they're very charismatic, in a way, in public speaking. Nicole Kidman has Venus in Leo. So in love matters, she's more dramatic and theatrical, and she's all these designer clothes that she wears. Sylvester Stallone is born in the same placement, and so is Tom Cruise. And they love the silk and the flashy clothing, etc.
Right.
And so Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius, and comes out in different ways. In Aries, it comes out like a military type of dictatorship. Let's not argue, let's do it my way.
Mm-hmm.
In Leo, of course, it's more the personal charisma and intelligent leadership. In Sagittarius, it comes out as either traveling to the end of the world or in philosophy. And, these are the best, some of the best motivators. Like Dale Carnegie was born with that in positive motivation. He was born Mercury in Sagittarius also. So the fire signs, that's right, they need the adventure. They need the sense of adventure. And if Venus is there, then love matters also. It becomes like that. And then the air signs, actually the earth signs, which are Taurus, Virgo and Capricorn, they are like the building blocks of the society, and they are much more cautious, and the security becomes more important for them. Long-term relationship, love is not just an adventure for them; it's a long-term theme. Like a 40-year marriages, sitting in the park feeding the pigeons, for example, the storge type of love. That's the earth sign, so they don't really care for just sudden ups and downs, but they look for the long-term aspects. They're able to weather the storm in case there are difficulties, and thank goodness for that. Otherwise, we have all kinds of breakdowns in society.
Right.
And so the only people who are sort of, to some extent, protecting it are the earth signs, but it can be also boring, the relationship. That, it's like just getting a paycheck, for example, and that's right, yeah. So if you're Venus and Taurus, for example, then in terms of love matters, they need long-term relationship. Princess Diana was also born of that, actually. And they are not really fling people, actually. They do like long-term friendship, and loyalty becomes very important for them. And in Venus and Capricorn, it's a bit difficult for them to express their emotions. Like Elvis Presley was born Venus and Capricorn. And
right.
Mel Gibson was born of that. Brad Pitt was born of that. Difficult for them to show their emotions. And for women, it becomes more of a status aspect, for example, that they don't really marry for love. If somebody has a lot of business aspects, or they're more drawn to. It's not that they are gold diggers or anything, it's just they're drawn to. There's a certain aspect of aura about people who are born with the success aspect.
Right.
And so they are drawn to that. They're people ambitious and goal-oriented. They're drawn to that aspect. In Virgo, it can become a bit of a doormat in a relationship. They will really put up with a lot. And very musical sign, but when it comes to love matches and relationships, very, very unselfish, like Florence Nightingale. So these are earth signs. So as you can see, the fire and earth don't really mix together. Somebody has Venus in a fire sign, wants adventure, and so let's say Venus in Sagittarius almost gives a bit of a playboy image.
Right.
And whereas the earth signs, they want, it's like a one woman man, for example, is like an earth sign, but Venus in Sagittarius becomes like a, you know, they also
Casanova.
Are like one woman man, but one on Monday, one on Tuesday, one on Thursday.
Yeah, exactly, like a Casanova, more or less.
Yeah. But it's not that, to them it's real like a spiritual experience, and they get bored easily, but they love the challenge, and as soon as they challenge over, they start getting bored. So then you have the air signs, which are Gemini, Libra, and Aquarius.
Right.
These signs, as you know, they're very, very independent, and the communication
mm-hmm.
becomes very important for them. The need for
right.
communication, a good sense of humor, for example, that's important for them. And they usually get along very well with the fire signs. And regardless of which sign it is, like Gemini, for example, is a bit of a digital sign, and it's quite a literary sign as well, but
so they
do get...
It's almost like two signs that are alike, or two people that are alike in many ways. It's better to have a little bit of...
differences. It does add the spice to it, but if you are born in the same sign, there's a very strong attraction there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like two people both born Venus and Taurus, they don't really have to communicate, and when it comes to love matters, they understand it. They have similar values. So that
right.
also gets along quite well.
Yeah.
And then you have the sign of Libra, for example. You know, when the love aspect becomes very important for them. And it's not the possession. Like, for example, if you take Venus and Taurus and Venus and Libra, they're both what we call, ruled by Venus, both signs, but since Libra is an air sign, it's like an artist who wants to admire every painting without
right.
being seen. Without having to possess it. Whereas in Taurus, they like to possess that. Royal Doulton and all that, and good property and antiques, etc. So, and Aquarius is much more of the unconventional side. These are ones who sort of break the family tradition. But it's in music
right.
and fashion and relationships and all these things. Mozart was born with that. Chopin was born with that, for example. And so the air signs are very independent, but they can get along really well with the fire signs. So it's like the air feeding the fire. And the last ones, the triplicity, what we call is the water triplicity, where we have Cancer, Scorpio, and Pisces. Now these signs are extremely compassionate and extremely sensitive. There's an acute sensitivity that they have. And they are... much more, you know, when they like the empathy and compassion, feelings and sensitivity, when they are drawn to all of that. And they're also, of course, more moody as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they get along really well with the earth signs. The earth signs, Taurus, Capricorn, and Virgo, are not too emotional as the water signs, but they can. But water and earth, it becomes a nurturing combination.
Right.
And, yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
And, this is the basic answer, whether you take Mercury when it comes to communication. Same comparability applies. That's why you cannot really say that all, Aries and Leo will get along well, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Because a Leo person might have something in Cancer, like Obama has Venus in Cancer, which is a very nurturing type of aspect. It's a sort of an emotional aspect. The good food is very important. A person might, his wife might say 1,000 times, I love you, it means nothing to him, but if she makes a really nice hot soup for him, that's love.
Yeah.
All these little things
yes.
become really important. You know?
Simple things can become, taken a lot
yes.
more. Makes sense. Just want to
yeah.
remind our callers out there, or people who are anticipating calling, not to be shy. Pick up the phone. Any questions that you may have, and any of you, whether it's love matters or anything that you're wanting to know, give us a call. If you're in North America, you call 1-888-228-4494. And again, if you're anywhere else in the world, give us a call from 1-877-489-6350.
Yep. And probably about the next before next show, I might send an email out also, a newsletter, because I haven't really let people know about this also yet, because we just want to test the facilities and all that. I'm really happy with BBS, actually. They seem to have done much better now. And, of course, as you know, our show will be every Thursday, I believe, what, same time, yes?
Actually, every second Thursday. I think this on Station 2 will be every second Thursday. And then on the weekly one, we're going to try to do, I believe, every Sunday, which will be a weekly show.
Yes, that'll be excellent. Now, that one would be only for North America.
Or just North America.
Okay,
correct.
States, yes, yeah. Whereas this one is all around the world. Later on, I've got to find out from Seth and Don that when you say world, is it Europe or even Bombay? Because we'd like to include something, one of our other correspondents in Los Angeles, Sherwin.
Right.
And he's in Hollywood. And we have Xenia Ali. She's a very good singer, actually, so a good entertainer in Bombay. And
right.
She's with all the Bollywood crowd all the time. So we'll get some insights there as well. And we'll
definitely
try to put some
technology.
Yes, and Ingrid, actually, she's quite good with the Hollywood aspect. Well, she's right in Toronto, so we'll sometimes take her.
Yeah, she's great for the local scene and for Hollywood, what's going on in Hollywood and everything else, for sure.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. And now, as far as the election is concerned, Michael, as we were saying, that, I personally feel that Obama will get in. If McCain gets in, of course, it'll only be if they steal the election. And it'll be just
right.
Like in Kerry. I'm quite positive that Kerry actually won the election.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and
in Hillary's case, of course, I said it even 10 years ago that the plants are at the very bottom, and they're just slowly moving up. Says absolutely, I do not see the chance at all. And Bill Clinton's health is not very good from about summer of 2009 till about mid-2010.
Right.
There are some setbacks there in her chart.
I'm glad you brought up the point about the planets, because I was going to ask you that. That was what I wanted to touch base on. You were saying, like with Hillary, for example, her planets are coming down, and in Obama's case, his planets are coming up, correct?
Well, that's right. In his case, like Saturn is right on top of this chart. That's when people get authority and responsibility, and they're at the peak as far as their career is concerned, public response. They get a very good public response.
Right.
Whereas in Hillary's case, the planets are slowly, Saturn is slowly moving up. The last 2 years, she laid the foundation, the groundwork, which is exactly what I'd said. They should be probably
right.
Writing the books and all that. But the planets are still, they're not up yet. And so she won't have as good a public response. And she's not really a very good orator. I mean,
mm-hmm.
It's very dry, and it's almost a bit dictatorial. If anybody's elitist, she's the one, all of them.
Yes.
Whereas in Obama's case, he has Leo right on top of the 9th and 10th house. The 10th house is when you can handle the stage yourself.
Right.
That's why he's right. Like many. And whereas in the 9th house, that means, he's very close to that divine truth, that he loves
right.
That aspect.
Yeah, he's a fabulous orator, no doubt. Excellent speaker.
Yeah.
Well,
I personally think that Hillary got as many votes as he got because of Bill Clinton, because his chart is a bit similar to Obama, except when it comes to love matters, he has Venus in Libra, the sign of love and family relationships and independence. Actually, he and Hillary are very, very different. She actually stuck with him. She's basically quite a loyal person, but I think it's more because she loves the power. He has Mercury,
yeah.
Sun, Venus, everything in power. That was the motivation. If he wasn't a president, she probably would have left him. And he wasn't such a good orator because she needed him also.
Oh, definitely.
Well, however, she justifies. Now, she does have some good aspects. She does have Moon in Pisces right on top of the chart, which is good for children and old people. So I'm sure she does feel for those who are downtrodden. It's just that I find they're not very objective.
Right.
Like some of the best terrorists or the freedom fighters, depending on whose side you're on, they all have these Scorpio planets.
Yeah.
And it's like a fanatic's chart. Madame Curie was born with that, but also Charles Manson. Like,
really?
It's how you direct it, that whole theme.
Yeah.
And I'm not just comparing time with this aspect. There's a fixity of purpose, but there's always a touch of that ruthless intensity. Whereas Obama's case, with Mercury being the son of Leo, aspect of Jupiter, etc., he has Saturn in the third house, just like Marilyn Monroe, which accounts for the left-handed aspect. And interestingly, Bill Clinton, Chelsea Clinton, and Bill Clinton, all three are also left-handed.
Oh, is that right?
His being a left-handed, it makes him like a real genius. The same thing with Bill Clinton. It may not be very obvious because not in physics or anything, but he was a Rhodes Scholar also. So Saturn gives a discipline. Like Einstein, for example, he had Mercury in the sign of Aries, a very bright sign, but Saturn was close to Mercury, which made him, of course, he didn't start speaking until quite late. And he stuck with his theory of unification.
Yeah, I always thought Clinton was an excellent president as far as Bill Clinton is concerned. I thought he was
absolutely. I mean, it was like $1 trillion surplus or something in his time. And now we've got like exactly opposite.
Yeah,
unfortunately. But the people who really manipulate the system, you know, like Saddam Lieberman, Mercury and Aquarius, totally like a puppeteer. And same thing with Cheney. It gives a bit of that touch of that evil genius aspect, unfortunately, you know. And Bush has a lot of Leo planets. Bush is a Cancer, but a lot of Leo planets all the in the 12th house. There's a deep insecurity, but the Leo part gives sort of a delicate ego, and which is easy to manipulate for these other people, that he's going to save us. And unfortunately, so they do use this aspect. And McCain, unfortunately, you know, like I always believe, you know, people who've been in a prison, for example, for like 5 years, they become totally, there's a certain ruthless aspect. They are not touched the reality at all. Like a million people almost killed in Iraq, and then they talk about sanctity of life. It's such a strange, a strange hypocrisy there.
I think the same thing. I mean, I was actually telling somebody that for someone who's been in the, he was a prisoner of war and went through some torture apparently or something. I said someone who goes through that would almost be have almost no feeling.
Would become almost a bit immune to that, or a bit desensitized to all that aspect. So when they do this, other people. Exactly,
I think we have a caller that may be trying to get through. So why don't we see if we go to the phones and see who we've got there? Can we have somebody on the phone with us?
Yes, hi, I'm here.
Hello, I'm here, and your name is?
Yes, I'm a first-time caller. My name's Jim. I'm calling from Florida.
Great. Whereabouts in Florida are you, Jim?
Fort Lauderdale.
Fort Lauderdale. Okay. First, if I could get a couple of things from you, Jim. If I can get your date of birth, and starting with the month, the day, then the year, and then your place of birth.
Oh, you're the Fort Lauderdale. Oh, no. So what is it, Jim? What's your birth date?
Yes, my birth date is 6-8-1965.
I was telling Michael before that.
Is that. So that would be June 8th or is that August 6th?
June 8th,
1965. Right. 1965, okay. Hello, Jim. How are you?
Good.
You have Venus in Cancer, like Obama, actually, so you must love good food as well. You're very much a family man also, like family man.
Do you need my place of birth?
That's fine, because we don't have too much time. You're, you might still give. Do you know what time you were born?
Yes, I believe it was, I'll say Atlantic time, it was 12:37 p.m.
12:37. You use the exact time, approximately. And where
right,
were you born?
They didn't give me the exact, yeah.
Where was your place of birth, Jim?
Wolf Hill, Nova Scotia.
In Canada?
Fellow Canadian.
Yes, it is.
Excellent.
Yes.
I see.
Enjoying the weather better in Florida, though, right?
Yeah, I got spoiled down here.
I'm sure.
Okay, Wolf Bay. Oh, I'm glad it's here. Okay. Well, since you have a little time, I saw that. You have, you know, it shows the home life being a bit barren, or the father's influence was a bit missing. And your nurturing aspect seems to come out in your career. You have Mercury very close to Jupiter. You have Sun, Mercury, Jupiter, everything in the ninth house. Ninth house is the house of law and philosophy and spirituality, etc. So you're very much drawn to all the foreign countries, foreign lands, foreign people, foreign cultures, mass education. But you have a bit of a radical mind. You have a brilliant mind, but it's definitely a bit radical. It reminds me of existentialism, Jean-Paul Sartre. So it gives a nice sort of a sarcastic wit. Or it's like a lawyer, for example, but when you come out with wrong conclusions and you cannot undo the damage, that's something you've got to be very careful of. Luckily, when it comes to love matters, relationships, you're very much a family man. And I think your Venus right on top in the... By the way, you know, the moon is exactly where it was when you were born. So the moon is in Libra, another law sign, but it's also a sign of harmony and peace. And but the thing is that the Mercury-Pluto aspect, on the positive side, is excellent when you break down the structure, dig the foundation deeper, and start all over again. later on this year, although you have some excellent aspects right now till about almost October, November for travel, for taking on huge opportunities, etc., but you do need to be careful later on this year till about next summer, because you are a real thinker. So if this was a woman's chart, it would be a bit neurotic type, but men seem to be direct them more in their career. But, for example, if you have difficulty sleeping, for example, later on this year, because you're also a multitasking person, but try to avoid any, when you're constantly running out of time, for example. Of course, if you're sitting in Florida, it might be the best thing. What do you do, by the way?
I'm self-employed, and I trade the foreign currency market.
Oh, I see. That's why you're Mercury, Jupiter in the ninth house. See, ninth house is foreign countries, foreign lands, foreign places and all. But you're constantly, I think that's why, on one side you have Saturn aspect to Mercury. I was just talking about that with Einstein and all these people. So you're very bright, but there's a certain cautiousness about you. I think you must have lost a lot of money in the stock market, though, because your timing, I don't think, is the best. Like, when you sit on something and there's a slight delay, especially for NASDAQ, your chart is definitely not the best. Have you lost money on that at all?
In the past, but I'm doing better now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you certainly have learned a lot, I'm sure.
Yeah, I paid the tuition to the stock market gods.
Yeah, that's what we learned. And we learned.
Well, you're very methodical, very analytical, but unfortunately your timing is like against the world timing. Like you'll buy oil stocks and next week they crash. That's a very strange aspect. There are two things that
like you It's like you'd wait too long by the time you make your decision.
It's very analytical. Yeah, that's right. By the time the whole market changes. You should wear a garnet ring on the little finger on the hand that you write with. That's one thing I would recommend. The second thing is avoid the number 8. That's not very good for you.
Oh, I have eights all over the place. I was born on an 8. I'm an 8 light path in numerology, so
Say...
This is not my good
offset
number.
That, right? For example, if you're buying a house, for example, make sure it's not like 8 or something. Otherwise, there'll be a lot of renovations and all that. There's a bit of a destined theme there, it seems, yeah. What else do you do, by the way, besides that? What have you done in the past?
I was working in restaurants and stuff. And
now you said it. That's the Venus in Cancer. Because your Venus in Cancer, see, Cancer is a food area, and it's right on top in the 10th house in your chart.
Okay.
Yeah, it's quite an interesting aspect, yeah. Your best aspects are next year. The first 6 months of next year are fantastic when it comes to your intellect, etc. But be careful. Try to do something else as well, also which is mentally relaxing. Like in your case, you're constantly just doing the same similar theme. Your mind just never rests, it seems. And this can be so, because the aspect you're getting late this year till about next summer is one of the aspects of heart, but it doesn't mean that physically you have bad heart or anything. In fact, you're quite health conscious. But it's a frustration which can lead to heart. That's what you've got to say. You've got to start pacing yourself from now.
Okay.
Did you have a particular question or any concern that you were wanting to ask us on, Jim, or has he kind of summed everything up for you?
Yeah, very quickly. So I think you said earlier, later in the year, be more careful. For what reason?
Well, because you have Saturn touching off that Mars, you see, in the 12th house. It's a major health house, the bladder area and authority conflicts and illegal matters. You've got to be extra careful of health matters. It's like a completion phase. You have to consolidate your position from end of this year till about mid-next year. And then 2 to 1.5 years, you've got, after that, it's like a retirement phase. Hopefully you'll make enough to be able to retire. But the 12th house, that Saturn theme, it's like a completion phase right now. But you do need to be careful. Like you can't do like bungee jumping and all that. Hopefully you wouldn't. But even in the stock market, what I would suggest is maybe you can take down our number. Michael can give you our number at some point, and also our email, so you can write to us. And I have a lot of people who are big players even in the stock market. So I've done a lot of the NASDAQ. I'm quite familiar with the market, and so we can direct you at a certain time. Then you've got to be very careful. Like right now, for example, this week is a bit of a low cycle. From the last few days, you probably felt a bit run down and tired.
Yes.
But after about a week, everything starts moving up. Then you'll start becoming... So there's certain times it's a very predictable thing. So even our 12-month forecast, for example, or even when you have a CD done, for example, you can tell quite a lot in that.
Yeah,
and I like your intellect. I know your timing has been wrong, but you are a very rational person. You have extremely high intellect. that part I really like. It's a brilliant mind with all the computers and space technology, the high tech. What I like about the chart is that Saturn touching off Milky, same thing, which almost slows you down, but it harnesses your intellect. That's the Saturn part.
And one other thing, do you see anything happen relationship-wise because I'm divorced and single?
Well, the Pluto is touching off. See, divorces, relationships are very, very hard on you. But this year, from this January, actually, you've already started going through a complete change in your whole attitude towards love, marriage, relationship, everything. You seem to like these aggressive type of women who are very independent type. Because I think in your I'm not suggesting that you're like a mama's boy, but somehow it seems that the mother was more of a dominating influence, it seems. So your nurturing seems to have come out in your career. But all
okay.
these scenes begin because they are not like a two-minute answer, you know. So
yeah, I was going to intercede there, and I was going to suggest that I was going to actually give our phone number to Jim right now and the email address that he should maybe correspond at a later date and get some more. I think a 12-month forecast would probably be great to start with. To give him
Yes, please give me your number. We can follow up on this.
I'll give you the local number in Toronto is area code 416-497-9000.
Okay.
And by email, you can contact us on at Stargaze, that's Stargaze, at Astrotrends, TRENDS.net.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I'll try to contact you tomorrow, and we can maybe get a better reading because I'm interested in financial astrology. It was J.P. Morgan that coined the phrase, millionaires don't use astrologers, but billionaires do, so I've always believed in that.
So true. Well, thank you
very powerful chart, actually. You have a nice, powerful chart. I just wish that the Cancer side, the nice restaurants don't let you start doing that more because stock market can really drive people crazy too.
It actually
the nervous system a lot. And you are a multitasking person. It's just that other balance, you know. So, but by the way, this year you are supposed to meet the right person as well. You do have Jupiter touching off your Venus, so there is a definite love matters also. But we'll deal with a little bit when you call.
Yes, you guys are right on track. That's what I'm feeling. So I'll follow up tomorrow. Thank you so much, and
sure.
I appreciate this reading.
Thank you for the call, Jim, and take care and have a good night.
Thank you. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Good night now.
Thank you. Take care.
Powerful chart.
He sounds like the way you were describing him. I'm trying to think who that
you
was.
You know, by the way, I forgot to mention that number 3, and especially number 9, is very lucky for him.
So, Jim, I hope you're still listening. Number 3 and number 9 are good numbers for you.
He also has some 7 in it, actually, with that Moon Libra, actually.
He's got something to do with one.
So, your friend from Australia, I hope they are listening. And
I was actually anticipating a call from them, and I was kind of looking forward to it. So, if they are listening, that would be Paul out in Canberra, Australia. And Liliana in Miami, if you are listening, give us a call, please. Either one of you can reach us at. Actually, Paul would probably have to call the worldwide number at 1-877-489-6350, and Liliana would be able to call at 1-888-228-4494. But we're open for other people to call as well. It's not just those two calls we're expecting.
Let me do Liliana's chart in case she hears it, or she can hear it from the archive also. We can always do that.
Yeah, you have her birth information. Yeah,
it's October 31st, 1956. And she was born in the morning.
Right.
And let me just see quickly. She has, I said so many things about Hillary Clinton. This chart is a bit similar. Same Mercury in Scorpio. Now, she's also Scorpio too, but Neptune, very close to Mercury. This is an interesting aspect. When you put Mercury-Neptune conjunction, she first of all needs some good counseling from time to time. But it's also when you cannot separate truth from fantasy. There is a definite element of that in her chart. Now, she has Venus in the sign of Virgo, very close to Jupiter. The Venus-Jupiter makes her very wealthy, actually. It's an easy after wealth. Even though she's very selective until she gets involved, once she gets involved, she'll put up with a lot. And also she is drawn to foreign countries and foreign lands and foreign people and foreign cultures too, in terms of love matters. Having Venus aspect to Jupiter aspect to Mars, it's an aspect of a lot of travel and quite often fast cars also. Very deep insight. It's just that Neptune-Mercury theme is like a person, was like a politician, for example, and there's a side to her like that. But luckily, that Neptune takes away some of the edge from that Scorpio. Takes the ruthless aspect or the sarcastic aspect, makes it very intuitive, but knowing fully well that she's being taken advantage of, somehow she'll convince herself that it's not going to happen. So she can keep doing the same thing over and over again. That only theme in her chart, but fantastic in psychology and understanding human nature, etc. also. She also has Moon in Libra, like Jim. So today the Moon is in Libra, so two people that did have a similar theme. She's going through a bit of a testing period later on this summer, till about next summer, when it comes to relationships. But there's a restrictive aspect of luck element also in relationships. So she meets somebody, but the person is married or lives somewhere else, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And the other person we had was your friend, Paul, in Australia.
Yeah, Paul. I'd definitely be interested in hearing something about him. I don't know him personally, but from my correspondence with him, I think he's an excellent human being. Like, he's a beautiful person, for sure.
Well, he's a Leo, as you know, and with Mars in Leo, Mercury in Cancer.
Right.
So he's quite understanding also. Now, he also has a Mercury-Neptune square, which, again, people who are like Mensa people who can make absolutely stupid mistakes once their emotions get involved. Having Mercury, Neptune, Saturn, Uranus, these are all in square to each other. This part, so he must have gone through a lot of, like, not nervous breakdown, but people, when they go through a lot of these ups and downs in life, which it's like, you know, sudden shocks through which you recover.
Mm-hmm.
There's some very deep insecurities there. He has a good business sense, so, like, that Mercury, Neptune square, like, I'll tell you one, person who had it was is Donald Trump.
Really?
Mercury Neptune, and somehow he's been through a very difficult aspect, but he's being able to somehow come out of it. So there's a certain scheming element of Mercury Neptune. Depends on how you use it. And
let me ask you this. What do you see about in his writing abilities?
Well, he certainly has ability. He's got a creative mind. Absolutely fantastic. And he's a discipline to finish what he starts too, because Mercury Neptune aspect is very... like many singers are born with that, Paul Anka was born with that, many people who write the lyrics and all that, and they have a nice voice also.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the aspects. It gives a sort of a comfortable sadness to the voice. Very intuitive too, and he has Mars in Leo. This is a bit of a flashy sign when it comes to, it's like Rolls Royces and Corvettes, and it's like yes,
mm-hmm.
Your type, and you have Mars in Leo too, that's right. And you had Rolls Royces and Corvettes.
No, I did. We'll get another one day. But I guess that's why we like each other. We have so much in common, I think, astrologically, for sure.
Yes. Especially the other car that you used to drive. I'm trying to remember. You know the one that you, that Italian.
The Pantera.
The Ford. Yes, that's it, yeah. Because that has both luxury and the speed. Yeah. That's more of that Mars and Leo theme, actually.
Now
but
I think
he definitely has.
I would have to trade them both in for probably the Phantom. I had to pick which car I would want.
No, he also has Venus-Jupiter conjunction, like Liliana, actually, which is one of the wealthy aspects, and also when you're drawn to foreigners. Now, he has Venus in Gemini. He's actually drawn to a bit older women also, I would imagine, because they're being a Saturn trine, which indirectly makes him, I can't use the word faithful or loyal, for example. It's a dual sign, Venus and Gemini, but he likes these assertive type of women, actually. But he's a good business sense, likes to do things his way. Mercury and Cancer, just like Princess Diana, for example. Yeah, interesting charts, yes.
Somebody was asking me yesterday, actually, about, I might as well ask you this, they were asking me about Jupiter. They said that they heard Jupiter was known as the lucky planet and Saturn is known as an adverse planet.
Well, everybody is born with this aspect, and every sign is has a ruler, what we call. Like Sagittarius is ruled by the planet Jupiter. It's just they're very optimistic because they're so much into God and philosophy and truth and divine truth. So they, regardless of what happens, it's how they react to circumstances is very optimistic. Like Newton, for example. Isaac Newton was a Capricorn, but he had Mercury in the sign of Sagittarius. So when the apple fell on his head, instead of accepting the fact that he had a little bump on his head, he had to formulate the laws of gravity. You know, but try to understand the... So it's the attitude which is very positive. as opposed to statin, for example, where they'll be thinking, for example, all kinds of difficulties, all the struggles they go through.
Yeah.
It's not that I'm, you know, sometimes, you know, I used to do a lot of charts. You know, I mean, after doing like more than 15,000 clients, as you know, you get to understand to level why some people are successful and some people are not. Because some people, like for example, that secret, all they do is they make people try to think like fire signs.
Right.
Like in my case, I can truly say that I've never had a trauma in my life, even though I've had a lot of struggles, much more than normal people probably, because I love challenges, as you know. But I lost my mother when I was born. In fact, on my birthday, everybody used to get together and cry that he was going to kill her. Mm-hmm. But even though I felt sad, but I also felt very special. If God had to deny me something so precious as mother's love, I must be somebody very special. But that attitude, I'm finding that you're born with that.
Right.
And I've just been very, very lucky that I'm born with that aspect. A lot of people get depressed. I used to be, you know, not hard, but I couldn't understand why some people get so depressed. Then I realized that they are born with a pathological depression. Like if you have a moon Saturn aspect, for example, you know, the slides we are having, one for astromedical, and some of the slides that we'll be dealing with in probably about a month's time, we'll tell everybody more about that. And these are all free sites. People can go in there and look all that. So if there's a moon Saturn aspect, for example, you know, I've never seen anything, the connection between depression and iron, but it's such an easy thing in astrology. You know, they talk about a postpartum depression with women.
Right.
And it's purely, you know, because of lack of iron. There's so much of iron loss. That's what leads to it. But the same moon Saturn is the weakness of the eyesight, or low blood pressure, low metabolic rate, etc. as well. Yeah.
Let me just...
So we'll give the insights now. I'm sorry?
No, go ahead.
Yeah. So I was saying that we'll keep on giving some different insights also. So whenever the archives, if people want to listen to us, and we'll talk about the natal chart and the transits and how we can offset. Now, also about astrology, I really want to express that there are many, many different types of astrologers, of course. But what I find that if you are starting in astrology, do not go into all these duas and progressions or moon's node and the dragon's head. Total nonsense. You spend so much time wasting all this energy. If you were to have like 10 lifetimes, even though you know less than probably like 5 or 10% of the astrology there is, so we have enough as it is. And like, for example, you know, one of my predictions was in 1986, I wrote about the October 87 stock market crash.
Yeah,
but it was based on Saturn being a sign of Sagittarius. Same thing which happened in 1929. And I was on a transatlantic flight, actually, when I realized that Saturn was in Sagittarius. And this could be Sagittarius, of course, is both philosophy and religion, but also the stock market and gambling, where Saturn is the planet is like a discipline. And the last degrees of it, that's exactly what happened in 1929, and the same thing happened in October 87. And, of course, we also had these world predictions, as you know, Michael, till the year 2017. Many people have said they would like to buy that, you know, this laminated 11 by 17. We should really, but that's your department. You can look up.
No, I wanted to actually, we'll bring the people's attention to the website as well, so that they can have a look at, learn a little bit more about you, and then they can also see the different products that are offered as well from the reports, whether it be the 12-month report or Solar Life, a compatibility study, and like you said, the world prediction, yes, 2017, right?
Yes.
Yeah. But I wanted to remind everybody, like I said, www.astrotrends.net is the website. And we're taking calls from everybody and anybody in North America that can call us on 1-888-228-4494. And worldwide, anywhere else, 1-877-489-6350. But I thought maybe you could touch base or talk a little bit about the 12 essential needs as well.
Sure. Okay. Well, you know, the whole zodiac, when we divide these 12 signs, and each sign represents a certain need in a person. So the Aries, for example, and I'll keep on putting a little bit of music so that you can understand And let me just put, like the Soul Sisters, for example, that's like an Aries theme. And the need for action. Everybody has this need for action. And the three things you need for to counter depression. One of them is the need for, you know, for action. So something to do, something to be proud of, which is more of a Leo theme, and philosophy and travel. That's a Sagittarius theme. So if I put this picture, I mean, if I put this music, for example, let me just put this on, and then you can see. So that is an Aries theme to me. Like as soon as you see, you know, even the little children start moving and they start dancing and all. And similarly, there's a theme for the Taurus theme. It's more like a Dean Martin's. You remember, everybody's loved somebody at one
time. These people who are these signs would like that type of music, in other words.
They would actually, wherever you have Taurus, you would like that aspect. Like, for example, you know, Princess Diana had Venus and Taurus, for example. So if I put this music on, it's very sort of nostalgic, and you feel, you know,
that's one of my favorites as well.
That's right. And you have Venus and Taurus, that's right. Just like Princess Diana, same theme. And when you think of our number five theme, is that short side that we need. We all have some area that you need applause, and there's something where you can be proud of.
Right.
So this is that Leo theme. Of course, I don't think anybody was a better dancer than Michael Jackson. Extremely talented, actually.
Oh, bar none, definitely.
Yeah, and yes, he's a Virgo, but shy. But Mercury, Venus, and Mars, everything in Leo. That's why even a gloved hand, like a prince. So that was that dramatic, you know, theatrical side. So that's a Leo theme. And then you have the Sagittarius theme. So when you hear this part, like the Beethoven was a Sagittarius with Mercury and Sagittarius. It's like a deep, like a contemplation with God.
Right.
So that part, that one, and the music that we use in our, I think also in the introduction also, that's also more like, you know, when we have this one, that's also sort of a Sagittarius theme. Like the distant countries and travel and foreign countries and foreign lands, etc. So we'll deal with this more and more as we go along also the 12 needs. And once we have all our listeners, and another thing which I'd like to do, Michael, I'd like to tell them also, when they go to our website, astrotrends.net,
right.
They can go right in the middle, in the beginning, there's that personality, the moon's table there. If they click on that, they can have a little chart where they can put the date and time, birth, and they can see exactly what their personality is like and what their rising sign is. And if they don't know it, very soon we'll be having, actually, in fact, right in the middle, they can put their date of birth, it'll tell them something about them anyways. We are going to be having another one where they'll be able to put their time of birth and all that, all free. We'll see which column applies to them. And based on that, they can start using astrology on a daily basis. As you know, the moon's transit that I started, that part is my own theme on that. And we'll be able to, they can see even on a daily basis when they're supposed to be run down and tired, when they have to money, all that part, when there's a high cycle, low cycle, they can start having. Well, we have to start wrapping up. And maybe you can give the number, our numbers again, Michael.
Yeah, I'm going to provide all our listeners with a local phone number in Toronto, Canada, is 416 area code, and the phone number is 497-9000.
And we always get back to them, by the way, in North America, because we have the plan, so we can just call them back.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it looks like we're getting close to the time.
And the website is astrotrends.net. They are almost like 3,500 pages, like... So hopefully they'll tune in again. Everybody, on the 7th, the next one is when, Michael? The 1st of May?
The next one, we will be back on May 1st, which will be the next Thursday show program. We're going to attempt to be back before then on a Sunday. We're going to try to get the weekly Sunday program.
Great, and thank you for...
We'll be back
also. Yes, and thank you for Sage also to monitor.
Absolutely.
Thanks a lot, Michael.
Yeah. Well, that was great. Yeah, that's our first, tonight was our first show back on BBS.
And archives, of course, we are leaving a lot of things also that when people can go in the archives, they can see a lot of the information. Any student of astrology would also like that too.
Right. And I would encourage, like I said, all the listeners to at least go to the website, www.astrotrends.net, and have a look at your many other interviews from your TV interviews. And also I wanted to let the people know about your talents as far as your paintings, your musical talents and whatever. They can see all of that on the website so they can understand you a little bit better.
Thank you, Michael.
Well, that was great. And we'll speak with you later.
Till next time.
Thank you to all our listeners tonight.
It's everybody the best. Thanks.